Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as I get this broadcast started today, I want to mention two resources that are available for those who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world 24/7. The one, The Divine Conspiracy, Rediscovering Our Hidden Life in God. The other, The Spirit of the Disciplines, both books by Dallas Willard. These are books that I have read over and over and over again. If you came to my office, I could show you dog-eared, marked-up copies. And there are certain books that are like that in my library. And it is evidence of the significance of those books. And this is why we're making them available to you. You can check them out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI as well. Let me start out with a quote from one of these books. And that is a quote by Dallas Willard in which he says that one of the greatest deceptions in the practice of the Christian religion is the idea that all that really matters is our internal feelings, our ideas, our beliefs, our intentions. And says Dallas Willard, it is this mistake about the psychology of the human being that more than anything else divorces salvation from life. It leaves us with a head full of vital truths about God and a body unable to fend off sin. If that doesn't underscore the importance of the spiritual disciplines, I don't know what would. Again, the quote of the day by Dallas Willard comes from his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. And I think this is the problem in capsule, that we have a head full of ideas, but a body unable to fend off sins. Why? Because we haven't practiced the disciplines that Jesus Christ made plain for us during his earthly sojourn. Both books available. Check them out on the web at equip.org. And let me say one more thing. I mentioned this in our letter, our monthly letter to our constituents who support the ministry. I point out that there's a book called The Divine Commodity in which author Sky Gittani paints a disturbing picture of an all-too-typical modern-day church. He says, wherever I looked, flat panel displays crammed my field of vision. Presenters were flashing their high-definition smiles. And the stage was alive. It was a mechanical beast to behold. It was moving fluidly, breathing smoke, shooting lasers through its digital chameleon skin. The band members were spread across the platform as jagged teeth in the beast's mouth, and the drummer, precariously suspended upon the ceiling, was like a pagan offering. And after that description of modern-day, quote-unquote, worship, he poses a question that we ought to ask. Is this why Jesus suffered and died? Is this why Jesus Christ came in the incarnation? Is this why he conquered death and evil, so that you and I might congregate for multimedia worship extravaganzas in his name? No serious, no sober Christian would need more than a second to answer that question. But the pervasive presence of these high-tech theatrics is merely symptomatic of a much deeper problem, one that lies at the very core of the decline of the Western Church. Again, The Spirit of the Disciplines and The Divine Conspiracy, both books that you need to read. You need to have them in your library. Let's go to the phone lines. A lot of you calling in. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Randy first in Buffalo, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just had a question. I recently read your book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. I was wondering if the data from it was still applicable today. I know it's been like 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And so is the acronym itself. I did do an update on it in a flip chart that we have available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. And there I use FARCE as the acronym. I just add the R, which stands for recapitulation. You know, the idea that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, that the emerging embryo goes through all of the evolutionary phases. So at one point, it's a fish, and then it's a frog, and eventually becomes a fetus. Now, the reason that's a very, very relevant and appropriate argument for today is that it is used oftentimes to say that if you abort a child early, you're not aborting a child or a fetus, but rather you're aborting a fish or a frog. And so to demonstrate the utter falsity of that paradigm, I think, is very relevant and important in the modern epoch.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was reading some reviews and discussions, I think somewhere on Amazon. One was on it's a site, lyingforjesus.org. It was pointing out there were some quotes in there, like from Darwin. There's a quote about Darwin, how he says that to suppose I has been formed by natural selection seems absurd.
Yes.
But in the actual quote itself, though, Darwin's talking about, even though it seems absurd, in old times, the fact that the sun, or that the earth went around the sun, seemed absurd. But obviously later on it was proven, you know, to be true. And that he makes the point that, like, the voice of the people, or, like, you know, the intuition of the day should never be trusted. So that.
But I don't think that's the point. That's not the point that I'm making. It is true that there are paradigms that people used to have. Geocentrism, which you're alluding to, or heliocentrism, both were paradigms that were held with a great deal of arrogance, actually, and now we know, upon further observation, that neither one of them is true. We live neither in a heliocentric nor a geocentric universe. We are in a flattened arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and we know that there are billions, even trillions of galaxies with billions of stars. So cosmology has moved on, but that, again, is not the point that I'm making in the book. The point I'm making in the book is a point about complexity, that there are a vast number of impulses traveling from your eyes through millions of nerve fibers, and they transmit information to a complex computing center in the brain. Of course, it's called the visual cortex, and linking the visual information from the eyes to motor centers in the brain is crucial in coordinating the bodily functions that are axiomatic to our process of daily living. Without that coordinated development, the eye and the brain in synergistic fashion, the isolated developments would be meaningless and counterproductive. So I'm raising an issue here, and that issue is expanding on what Darwin said, and I think it's as relevant today as it ever was. And the reason it's relevant is that while when a photon of light hitting a human eye was beyond 19th century science, that black box has opened, and it has revealed an even more complex world, a world that Darwin couldn't have attained to. So the problem is even greater in our day than it was in Darwin's day. Coming up to a station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I've written a number of more contemporary books, like the Creation Answer Book, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, The Farce of Evolution, Memorable Keys to The Farce of Evolution, The Flip Chart, and of course, there are newer versions of The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find them on the web at equip.org. We will be right back after the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dallas Willard explains that the New Testament is a book about disciples, by disciples, for disciples of Jesus Christ. Because we don't see true disciples without the practice of spiritual disciplines, Professor Willard's book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes Lives, is a must-read for Christians serious about their relationship with God and Christ. To receive your copy of The Spirit of the Disciplines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ken in Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Ken.
Hi there, Hank. Jay, I just want to say thank you for your ministry. I love what you're doing here. And my question is it's a tough one. It's a hot-button topic. I don't envy you here. It's regarding the fact that many of our childhood vaccines are manufactured in a way that the viruses are cultured in aborted fetus cells, and I wonder if by vaccinating our kids, if we're supporting the vaccine industry, are we inadvertently supporting the abortion industry?
Well, I think the answer to that question could certainly be a resounding yes, because one thing we have to recognize is there are alternative vaccinations available. And when you think about what's going on with the abortion industry, and it is an industry, you realize immediately that we're involved in a grotesque practice of not only aborting babies, reassembling their parts after the abortion, making sure that the womb has been sufficiently evacuated, and then we're selling the parts. So it's become an industry. And I think this is equivalent to what happened in Nazi Germany, quite frankly. It is a horror where Jews were experimented on in order to produce an Übermann, a superhuman being. And I think this is unseemly. It is grotesque. And to the extent that there are other means available to us, we ought to avail ourselves of those means. But there's no way in the present that we can support the abortion industry because, as I've mentioned many times on this broadcast, abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. It's painful. It is the killing because this is a human being. It displays all of the criteria necessary to assert that this is human life. And so there are philosophical concerns, theological concerns, but the question of the beginning of life is an established fact that is no longer a matter of consternation for anyone that's paying attention. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Anna in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you. My question is, and I have just recently started listening to your program and appreciate your ministry. I have been raised in an Episcopal church, had gone there most of my life, felt that I wasn't growing as a Christian, but was baptized, of course, by sprinkling. Since then, I have changed churches and gone to a non-denominational church where they believe that baptism, of course, is through immersion. When I had talked to the priest at the Episcopal church, they just told me that they felt that by sprinkling, that was being baptized. I have always felt that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. So the church that I'm attending now has left it up to me as to whether I believe that sprinkling was enough or if I needed to be immersed. So I guess my question is the difference between the sprinkling and the immersion.
Yeah, I think what's important is to realize that baptism is a mystery. And in this mystery, as Paul defines it, we're buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So if you look at Romans chapter 6, you have a picture, and that picture is to be buried to your old life as you're buried or immersed in the waters, and then raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And that's what baptism is. If you look at the Greek word for baptism, what you end up with is a literal indication of immersion or being put into. And therefore, the ancient church has always baptized by triple immersion, baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, there's a picture here. The picture is always important, just like in resurrection. Why is it that we bury as opposed to cremate? That is the biblical way that we're called to, called with the death of a person. We're called to bury rather than to cremate. Why? The biblical motif paints a picture of what's going on, which is to say, people are now aware of the fact that we do not believe in separation from the body, although there is a temporary separation from the body, but ultimately the resurrection of that body, the fact that when Jesus appears a second time, the non-physical aspect of our humanity will be reunited with the body, and we will once again be what we were at birth, a body-soul unity, or I should say at conception, a body-soul unity. The same thing is true. There's a picture in baptism. That picture is very, very powerful. It is graphically displaying to those who are witnesses of the baptism that you are buried to your old life. You're raised to newness of life. You're going to take up your cross and daily follow Christ within the context of a body of believers, not in isolation, but within the body of Christ. So it is a very, very powerful portrait or picture that resonates with those and testifies to those who are looking on. So immersion, I think, is the way that the ancient church baptized. Now, having said all of that, let me quickly add that I do think, as whoever said this to you, I do think that they were correct in saying that it is up to your discretion whether you want to get baptized again. If you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, most churches will accept that baptism. This is certainly true in the Orthodox community. They will accept the baptism of someone who was baptized in the Protestant community as opposed to demanding that that person be rebaptized. Although the actual rite of baptism itself, as I've seen it with my own children, is one of the most beautiful ceremonies, if you will, that I have ever encountered. In fact, I remember watching my youngest son being baptized not all that long ago, and literally wishing that I could be a part of that again. It was so beautiful and so meaningful.
Right. And I do think, you know, being sprinkled as a, you know, a young adolescent, it was more or less, this is what my parents expected more than what I thought I should do. And then as I've gotten older, you know, and speaking with this church now, I do feel that immersion is something that I really need to do again, because I know that my heart now is in the right place.
Yeah, wonderful. I think that go with your conscience on this. Quite frankly, if it were appropriate for me, I'd be baptized every month. I just love the whole sacrament of baptism, the meaning, the significance of baptism. I mean, you look, for example, at the Old Testament where baptism was pictured by the passage of God's people with Moses through the Red Sea. And then John the Baptist, who was the last prophet of the Old Covenant, baptizing in water for repentance. We see that in Mark chapter 1 and in Acts chapter 19. And then Jesus receiving John's baptism and thereby actually transforming the water in baptism itself. So in that The new covenant baptism is the means by which we enter into the kingdom of God. We're joined with Christ and we're granted the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the significance is so powerful, so meaningful, and so inextricably woven together into the fabric of Scripture that, again, the sacrament is something that I salivate over. I just love to watch it. If I can witness someone's baptism, I am there. Delighting in what I'm seeing as someone is again buried to their old life, raised to newness of life, and then take up their cross, follow Christ within the context of the body of Christ.
Very good, Hank. I really appreciate the information.
Well, you got it, and thank you for a very significant question. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Not enough time to take another call. As always, my gratitude, deepest gratitude, for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.